Ephesians chapter 5, you can take your Bibles and go there. Hallelujah, Ephesians 5. And then just a quick reminder for everybody who is helping with the dinner downstairs today. We're going to just have a really short meeting after the service for all the folks that are helping in the kitchen and helping serve and stuff like that. We're just doing a short meeting downstairs, and part of it is so everybody can see how it is set up that's helping, and then kind of get a sense of the flow and how it's going to work and all the order and everything like that. And then something that, Brian, you and I haven't talked about, or Marge or Lisa, and at least I wasn't in on the conversation, is the dinner going to be somewhere between 4:30 and 4:45 that we actually put the food on the table because we have hors d'oeuvres? Okay, it'll be closer to 4:30 because we can't cook steaks that fast. Okay, all right. So close to 4:30. All right, that's our goal. Amen. Maybe we can cook steaks that fast. And then start the salad and that and stuff and everything. And what we're aiming for, and if you people would just please be praying, you know, I'm pretty sure we're going to have folks there who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay, and one of our biggest things is we want those ladies to be loved on and to know how much Jesus Christ loves them, the price he paid for them, so that they could be his bride, so they could be forgiven and have life and life more abundantly. And then along with that, we just want to let all those ladies know how much God loves them. And just by putting, you know, love into practice, and just by doing that. So please keep the afternoon up. Lifted up in prayer this evening. And then I'm so thankful. Teresa said that she'd help me next door with the children, and then also got Rayleigh and Zoe that are going to help next door with the children. And we got some fun things planned for that. We got some face painting that's going to take place, some balloon animals. Yes! Michelle's a little excited about the balloon animals, and I love that, praise God. You know, it's really fun when you ask somebody if they want to come over and do something, and they're like, yay, 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 yay! And that was about her reaction. So I tell you, if you're the person asking, you love it. How many parents in here, you would love it if your children responded like that every time you asked them to do something? Parenting would be just so easy. It would just be like, yeah, this is a snap. I don't know, you know. So thank you, Michelle. That you don't have any idea how much life and excitement and blessing that brings to me, so thank you. But this was way cool. Janine Gould went last year. She bought and put together like Christmas gifts and stockings, Christmas stockings and things like that. And this year she got a lady to go with her to help her, and that lady who went with her got into it so much. She was so excited about it. She ended up buying most of the stuff, and I don't even know who that lady is. You know, but she just wanted to just, I want in on this. I want to give. I want to be a part of that. And so I'm just thinking, praise God, what an awesome time. So, and then we have 10 children that are going to be with us. And you know, one of the ways to love parents is to love their children. And that is our goal, to love their children this afternoon. So I have got a great big thank you to Rayleigh, Zoe, and Teresa, and then the others that are going to come help, and Isaac's going to pop in and help do balloon animals as well. And so just keep us all lifted up in prayer. Amen? Speaking of prayer, let's do that. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you put in my heart. I thank you that I've had a week just to let this simmer, just to let it just simmer in my heart and just to ponder it and to think about it. And even this morning as I was looking at the scriptures and praying and going over my notes even more, you know, there was more insight, there was more understanding. So help me share today what you want me to share today. And help me to put it across in a way that it's edifying and uplifting, and it carries and brings life to each and every person hearing this. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, what I got last Sunday, I went home and it was after church, and I'm meditating and pondering and stuff. And this little phrase ran through my heart: how to love your wife well. So that's the subject matter of today's message: how to love your wife well. And I can just imagine somebody, maybe not in this church, but somewhere there might be a man say, well, hey, what about how to love your man well? Well, that's not what God talked to me about. So we're going to talk about how to love your wife well. And if you pay attention and you listen as you go through the sermon, then you'll figure out a lot of these things can swap back and forth. But I'm going to be focusing on how to love your wife well, because that is what God put in my heart. And I have no to preach it. All the women said, amen. And I have no idea if we'll do the other part next week, and I'm not worried about it. Amen. So if any of you men start whining, here's the thing. Suck it up, buttercup. Okay, so praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Taken in Ephesians, and put a marker here, because I'm just going to look at one part in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, which is pretty common, pretty familiar scripture. But I have five things that I want to share on how to love your wife well. One, words. The words of life. The words of affirmation. The words of faith that we speak over them. The second one is, remember and confess. Remember and say repeatedly to your wife how thankful you are for all the little things she does. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, if we start to ponder it and think about all the little things, when I think about, and I'm kind of jumping ahead on this one. No, I'm not going to. Just going to leave it at that. Remember all the things. Think about all the things that your spouse does for you. Maybe they don't seem like big things, but man, they've been going on for years. Number three, love language. Figure out what your spouse's love language is. Amen? And I'll talk about that a little bit more as we get to it. Number four, don't do the blame game. Don't play the blame game. Amen? Any husbands in here ever been tempted to blame your wife? Well, we're going to read about a fellow in the scripture and did that, and we'll see how it turned out for him. Amen? And then number five is love your wife as Christ loved the church. Amen. Those are our five things to look at in this. And I want to share this from this content. Years ago, when I was pastor, I'd been pastor, and maybe Diane and I had been married 10 years, so probably been a pastor somewhere around 7 years, 8 years. Or no. Diane and I had been married 7, 8 years, and this guest minister came into the church at Rushville who had been there before. And he was a good man. He was a good, godly man. He was a missionary. Pastor Dave Nicholas really enjoyed him, so he came in, and he and I are talking. We're having lunch one day, and then he tells me about this book. He recommends this book to me, and it was His Needs and Her Needs, and it's a book on marriage. And my first thought was this: my marriage is just fine. I don't need that book. What the heck are you recommending that to me for? Well, okay, and so a little while went by, and then it dawned on me, he was not recommending that book to me for me. He was recommending that book to me as a great reference tool for couples in the church. And then so I bought it. And then I'm not one to just hand things to people that I don't know what's in there. You know, as a shepherd, it's my job to feed you guys. I want to make sure the food is good. That's one thing. I can be a real stickler about that. I mean, if the food is tainted, I'm not feeding it. Amen. How many of you as moms in here are very careful about the food you put on the table for your children? And if you think something is sour or spoiled or tainted, the can has really been dented and it's a little iffy, how many of you put it on the table? You don't. So I'm really picky about that. So Diana and I read that book, His Needs, Her Needs. And we read it like you're instructed to read it. I read a chapter, then she read a chapter, and then we talked about the chapter at the end of it. And, you know, our marriage was already good. It's already good. Guess what? It got better. There were stuff that I got out of that book that was so good, and my wife can tell you, I've always been an affectionate person. Always. I am very affectionate. I want to hold hands. I want to kiss. I want to hug. In fact, we had a hug this morning. Well, lots of kisses this morning, but a very special hug. Because with all the changes that came up, and then when we're planning the changes for the service this morning, we just sailed through that so smoothly. There was never a raised voice. There was never a frustration. There was never an irritation. We just floated through like on clouds. How many of you know that was not the case? So then at one point, I just walked over to her and grabbed her, put both arms around her, and started praying. God, forgive me. Forgive me for being short. Forgive me for elevating my voice. I wasn't yelling at her, but my voice wasn't calm. Just forgive me, God. I'm sorry. And then maybe she doesn't want me to share this. But I just let her rest in my arms and cry. That right there turned our morning around. Amen. And it is how to love your wife well. And our marriage is, it's good. Turn to look at somebody and say, good. Guess what? It's getting better. I'm amazed at how much better it's gotten over the years. So glory to God. Amen. So that's the heart of why I want to share this. So our marriages just get better and better and better. Because do you know one of the things that the world needs? The world needs to see good, solid Christian marriages. That's part of our light. That's part of our light. Diana, I've had people come to this church and say, the reason we're here is because I've heard about you and Diana and your children. And so we're here. Praise God. People are watching us. Amen? People are watching us. So words. The words we speak over. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. That's where we're going to go. Just going to read verse 26. Notice something about Jesus here. Ephesians 5, verse 26. And you can put a marker here. We might get back to this today. That he might sanctify. This is talking about Jesus towards us. His bride. The church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I'd just like to ask you a question. What kind of words does Jesus speak over us? Truth. He speaks truth over us. Amen? Jesus speaks truth over us. He speaks his word over us. I wonder if Jesus ever speaks anything by faith over us. How many of you think sometimes we're not behaving like we could, like we should? Amen? Now, and Diana and I talked a little bit about a few things, and she gave me permission to share a few things here. So, and you guys are going to find this hard to believe, but she always does everything just the way I want. Thank you. Would you amen that for me, babe, please? Amen. She did. One time Kathy said to me, I had shared about Diana and I having a fight, and Kathy said to me afterwards, she goes, it's nice to know that you guys do have fights. I'm a pretty positive person, and I'm very protective of Diana, and I will speak positive things all the time. But come on, guys, how many of you know none of us in here who are married have everything that's perfect and hunky-dory and smooth and just wonderful all the time? Amen? Hallelujah. And so the words that we speak, and this is one of those that's interchangeable, the words that I speak over Diana when things are good and when things are not so good are really important. Amen? Hallelujah. I got to be speaking those words. Notice what Jesus is going to do here. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Do you notice that the speaking the word, the washing of water by the word, is connected to the ultimate end and the ultimate outcome of the bride? And we as men are supposed to be loving our wives as Christ loved the church. So one of the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing is speaking words of life, words of love, words of affirmation, words of truth over her, to her, and about her. One time when I was just cruising along, and I had two things in the woods. One time I was praying, and it's crazy how God can talk to you whatever you're doing. How many would think if you're running a chainsaw, you ought to be paying attention to the chainsaw? Amen. One day I'm out in the woods and I'm logging, and I would have spikes in the bottom of my boots, and I'm logging and I'm going down this tree and I'm walking on top of it and I'm taking the limbs off. Zing, zing, zing. And I just, hey God, love is the greatest. Why is love the greatest? And we're having that conversation and he just speaks back to my heart. And he just said this to me. He said, love is the greatest because it motivates one to live. It motivates one to give. God so loved the world, he gave. And I went, wow. That's why love is the greatest, because it motivates us to give. To give. To give. Faith, hope, and love. Did you know faith? That can be about receiving. Hope? That can be about receiving too. It can be about other things, but it can be about receiving. Love motivates us to give. And then God dropped in my heart around that same point in time in my life this little phrase. Love, one element of love, is what you do and don't say about people when they are and aren't around. Love, one element of love, is what you do and don't say about people when they are and aren't around. And a crazy thing about Jesus is he will always speak words of love, words of affirmation, words of truth about us. And I just got thinking about this. You know, what are the words that we speak over? You know, what are the words I speak over Diana? What are the words I say about her? Head with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. I got to thinking about this. And this hit me this morning. You guys all doing okay? Yes. It's getting kind of quiet in here. Is that okay? It's okay if it gets a little quiet in here? All right. All right. Proverbs 31. I wanted to start reading at verse 10. And I was talking with a young couple and stuff. And this is a practice of their life. You know, it was something that they were putting into their life. And I thought, wow, that's a good thing. How about if this was a thing that a man spoke over his wife? So let me just read this. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Well, I can say I have. I can say I have. Are there any other men in here who you can say you have? You have found a virtuous wife. Now we're going to have a description of her. Going to have a description of this virtuous wife. And if you're in here and you don't have a wife yet, be paying attention. Because if you plan on it one day, you know, how do you want it to be? So, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? I have found a virtuous wife. For her worth is far more than rubies. It's got me already. A truth about Diana. Can you say this about your wife? Because God says this about your wife. Her worth is more than rubies. Those words out of our mouths as men about our wives. Amen? The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil. And all the days of her life, all the days of her life, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. And she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold up the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. Wow. Words are getting blurry. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. This is why I should not add scripture to my notes, because when I added this one this morning, and then it just prolongs and everything. Why does this hit my heart so well? Because this is true. This is what God says about Diana. This is what God says about every wife in this place. Amen. Now, are there any wives in here? I'll try to finish. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So, the words that we speak. Now, I want to ask this question. How many of you ladies in here, as I read that list of a virtuous woman, how many of ladies in here would say, I don't meet all of those. Can I have a show of hands, please? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on the next one, but how many of you ladies in here, honestly, you would say, I don't meet all those. But even though you maybe don't meet all those, what does God say over you? What does God say about you? Even though I think every wife in here could look at things and say, I could do better here, and I could do better here, and I could do better here. That being true, I'm sure that's true. Just the same, that's what God would speak over you. So as a husband, guess what I want to do? I want to speak that over Diana. Even though there are times when I'm speaking those things by faith. Amen. I'm speaking them by faith. Those are the words that I am releasing into the atmosphere. Those are the words that I'm letting go out, and what I believe and what I proclaim and what I declare about my bride. Amen. Now, men, don't raise your hand. How many men in here could say, yeah, but Pastor, there's some things in there that my wife just isn't doing? Do not raise your hand, men. But ladies, you probably all know that, just like you know you're not meeting all of this, that your husband probably knows that too. Amen? So we as husbands, what should we do all the more? All the more in those areas, those are the things that we should speak. Those are the things that we should proclaim. Amen. Hallelujah. My notes went away. They'll come back. Yes, they will. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. I want to go here. I want to pull something out of this. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. John 8, 1 through 11. And I won't read all of this, but you guys are very familiar with it. It's a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Okay, now I want you to put yourself in Jesus' shoes and think about Jesus as the future husband and this lady as the future bride. Because you know what? That's a very real scenario. Amen? Isn't Jesus the husband to the church? And we are the bride to Jesus? So, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want to just jump down to some of the last verses of Scripture. John chapter 8, start at verse 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, we know what just took place before this. And they all wanted to stone her. They all wanted to stone her. Can I ask you a question? Was she guilty? She was guilty. So she was wrong. And she was falling short. And yet, what did Jesus do? He didn't condemn her. But not only that, he protected her. Who did he protect her from? Religious hypocrites. How many of you know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one? Who's working out of sight in this scenario? Satan. Amen? Satan's working behind the scenes. So what's Jesus doing? He's protecting her from being stoned. But there is something more that he is protecting her from, even though she's guilty. I keep heading towards that last one. Husbands, love your wife as Christ first loved the church. All the more so when the enemy is hitting her hard. Somebody say amen. See, we got to keep that in mind. Jesus protects her. Jesus defends her. And I have said this for years when it comes to those passages of Scripture right there. You know, Jesus said, let me read on a little bit. And while Jesus had raised himself up, saw no one but the woman, so everybody went away, saw no one but the woman, said to her, where are those accusers of yours? You know what Satan is referred to? The accuser of the brethren. How many times, and Diane and I have our times. You guys, please don't think we don't have our times. We have our times. How many times when things are tough is the accuser of the brethren not very far away? And what is so vital for me to do? Not to listen to him. Not to slide into his trap. And not to say, well, if you were this and you were that and you were the other. No, I can't slip into that. What I need to realize is I need to be the defender. I cannot side with the accuser of the brethren. And how many of you know this is another one of those truths that can go both ways? This is one of those that can go both ways. One of the things I said down earlier, and I'm going out of order, but the blame game. The blame game. Since we're here, let's just keep going. Have there been any husbands you ever wanted to blame your wife? Well, if she'd just do this different, or if she'd just do that different, if this... Okay, how about the flip side? Wives, are there any wives in here that you just want to blame your husband? Boy, that's a dangerous thing to do. Because then when we start the blame game, we start focusing on the negative. We start focusing on the faults. We start focusing on what's wrong. And we got our eyes off the other thing. And then if we start focusing on all that stuff, then guess what can slip in? Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. Amen? Hallelujah. How to love your wife well. Speak words of life over her. speak words of life over, even when things are tough, even when you're in the middle of hard situations. I wanted to read something over in John chapter 6, verse 60. John 6, 60. John 6, 60. Listen to this here. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." And that word life there is Zoe, the God kind of life. Now, I'm heading somewhere, and this maybe seems a bit blind or out of place right now. Pastor, where are you going with this? Jesus had just said something to them that they didn't get, something that was hard to understand. He was talking about giving his flesh for them to eat and giving his blood for them to drink, and they didn't get it. He was speaking truth to them, and they didn't get it. Okay? Paul Anderson, one of the things I heard, I think it was Paul who I heard say, you know, if you're going to love your wife well, one of the things you're going to do is you're going to speak truth. But here's the thing, husbands, those words of truth should always be backed up with love, but they should be words of truth, words of truth, speaking God's word to our wives, especially when we hit those situations. Well, I think I'm just going to keep going here. Especially when we hit those hard situations, when it's a challenge. And Diana and I have hit them over the years. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always easy. But here's something I can guarantee you. She and I speak truth to each other. But in those words of truth, and see, here's the point. Here's why I read this. Jesus said, "The words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life." But were those words that he said that were spirit and life hard for them to grab a hold of? Sometimes I will share things with Diana that are hard for her to grab a hold of. That's the truth. And she doesn't always like everything I share with her. That's the truth. And a reverse of that is I don't like everything she says to me. And she says things to me that are true at times. I think a lot of people would be shocked if they watched her and I when we're just sitting alone in our house having our husband-wife conversations back and forth. We don't yell. We don't call each other names. We don't nitpick. We don't find fault. We don't blame. We just talk. And I'm free to say stuff to her, and she's free to say stuff to me that's true, and maybe it doesn't feel good. You know, here's a word to ladies. If your husband says something to you that's bathed in love and full of truth, even though you don't want to hear it, tune in. Amen? Because see, that's loving your spouse well. That's loving your spouse well. Telling them what they need to hear as opposed to what they want to hear. Is this making sense? We're doing okay? We're all right? And I thank God for all the good marriages that are sitting in this room that are represented right now. I thank God for all that. But how many of you know our marriages can get stronger, they can get healthier, and they can get better? And so one of the things to do is, yeah, the words that we speak over each other, about each other. And then husbands, there's a point in time I need to just speak the truth. Knowing, and here's a situation Diana and I had. I'm jumping so far ahead. We bought a house 9 years ago. And my wife can tell you she doesn't like change. Why we ever had five kids and all them changing of diapers, I don't know. But my wife doesn't like change. She just doesn't like it. And we had 17 years of memory in the parsonage. And we didn't have a house payment. And all those memories and change, but it was in my heart to buy a new house. so the church could sell the parsonage and have the money to build a new building. And it was in my heart. And we had talked about it. We went together and we looked at houses and all of that stuff and everything. And we worked our way through it and we bought the house. And every once in a while, over the years, it would come up. And this is what she gave me permission to talk about. It would come up that she wished we hadn't bought the house. Boy, we just got to make the payments. That financial part of it came in there. And it didn't show up all the time. It wasn't there all the time. But it would come up as the husband. How do you think I like that? I didn't. So how do you think it was between us at those point in times? We had something to work on. And we would talk. And we'd talk and we'd get through it, and then it'd come up. And she doesn't remember. I think it went on for about 3 or 4 years. It would show up periodically. Finally, I said to her, honey, I got this. I have got this. I have got the faith for this. You can leave it alone. Can you just leave it alone? Do you trust me as the head of this house that I've got this? And she looks at me and goes, I do. She has never brought it up since then. Amen. You know what she said to me? Just thought about it. Babe, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you to believe God and to walk out what he has put in your heart for us as a family, even though it's hard for me. Amen? Boy, that's a good word. What a huge compliment she has given me. And I'm able to hang on to and walk out those things that God has put in my heart to do. Amen? And do you think that was easy for her? No. And do you think perhaps that maybe I had to use a little bit of tact in our conversations back and forth? How many of you know I couldn't go in there and be like a bull in a china closet? How many of you know I've tried that? How many of you know we had a truck named Ishmael? Yeah, we named that truck Ishmael. We didn't have a lot of money. This is quite a few years ago. I'm talking, I don't know how many years ago, 15, 18 years ago, a lot of years ago. And we had saved up $1,000 and I wanted a pickup. And she and I are talking about it, and she won't go along. And I finally just said, I'm the head of this house, and if I want a truck, I will get a truck. So I took her $1,000, and I found a truck, and I went and bought the truck. And Tom Conwell drove the truck home for me, and one of the things I realized was the transmission was bad, and reverse didn't work. So I had to change the transmission. So I changed the transmission, I started up, and it's vibrating like crazy, so I have to take it all apart again, and I have to change the flywheel because it had the wrong flywheel and it was out of balance, and I put it back in, and I drive the truck from Custer out to the village, which is now the fort, and it dies. And we towed it home. And it had serious problems. And finally, sold it for parts. And we just call it Ishmael. It's totally a bad plan, and it was all on me. One of the things I've learned is to listen to my wife. I've learned to listen to her. And she's learned. And because I've learned to listen to her and admit when she is right. Amen. Nobody thinks this is funny, what I'm about to share, but I think it's hilarious. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I was buying stuff for the Thanksgiving dinner, and it said, gelled, is that right? Gelled cranberries. Jelly. Cranberries. And I'm thinking, oh, that's supposed to be chilled cranberries, and they're in the freezer section. I'm a man in need of direction. So I went to a woman. That's what nobody thinks funny. I think it's hilarious. I was a man in need of direction. So I went to a woman in a grocery store. It's a great thing to do. Oh, I know right what you need. And she took me there. Amen. All right. That just still isn't working. No matter how well I deliver that, it just isn't working. People are not liking that. Okay. Praise God. Let's see. How many points did I have? Which one are we on? One. I think she likes this one. Okay. One, I'm not going to keep going. It's already 10 after. I just want to do something here to try to bring this thing to a close. The words we speak, remember, guys. You know, I'll just say this like I say it at home. The other day, it hit me again. For 38 years, she's been washing my dirty underwear. Wow. I am grateful. I am thankful. To stop and remember all those little things. I purpose to remember all those little things. And I purpose to tell her. I say that to her, and I appreciate it. I am a blessed man. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And like you've heard this morning, sometimes it's tough between us. But we've got a set of guidelines that we follow. And I want to speak words of life over her, even when it's tough between us, because I don't want to let the enemy in. I don't want to side with the accuser of the brethren. I don't want to let bitterness and unforgiveness. And boy, when I think about all the ways that I've been blessed, all the meals she has cooked for me, all the things. Wow, boy, you talk about that's good for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's just tap on this one for a second. Love language. Love language. When I say love language, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You know where I'm headed. You know what I mean by that. And when I say love language, how many of you are going, I don't know what you mean by that, Pastor? You know, because there's some folks in here. There's a book out, and it was called The Love Languages. Different ways that a person expresses love. Yep, the five love languages. Different ways a person expresses love. Okay, and here's a list of them, and I believe this list is right. I haven't read the book for a long time. One of them is quality time. If you want to show your wife or your husband that you love them, quality time together. Here's another one, acts of service, okay? Gifts, give them gifts. Affection, I believe that's the fourth one. And then the last one, we've talked about quite a bit, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. You know what my love language is? You guys should know, I've been telling you for years. One of the things that, just if somebody wants to let me know that they love me, gifts. Give me gifts. You know, just give me gifts. And boy, I know you love me. And see, here's what we do. We think that everybody has the same love language. Well, gifts is not on the top of Diana's love language. It's in there, but it's not on the top. And what I would try to do is I'd try to give her gifts to show her how much I loved her. And sometimes the gifts weren't practical at all. And that just didn't work for her. It wasn't working. I mean, I love you. Like it. It wasn't working, but I figured out a few things. One, quality time. She wants quality time. You can tell me how I'm doing in the order. Another one, acts of service. Between washing her car and buying her flowers. Washing her car every time. Every time. Guaranteed she likes her car kept clean. So if I give her flowers, fine. Wash her car. Woohoo! Yeah, change the oil. You know, in our house, she's going to start calling me Honeydew. She's the honey, I'm the dew. Anyway, how many of you husbands and wives... know, how many of you husbands in here know what your wife's love language is? Because we're talking about how to love your wife well. Do you know what her love language is? You had to talk about it. Quality time, acts of service, gifts, affection, words of affirmation. You know, which one is it? And then realize this, it can change over time. Amen. Diana's gotten way better at gifts. She's gotten so much better at receiving gifts. She has. Amen. But we've had wrestling matches there. Riding motorcycles. I want to give her stuff. I enjoy riding and I want her to be comfortable, so I want to buy things for her, and she keeps shooting me down. She did. She kept shooting me down. So finally one day I got mad at her. It's my money that I want to spend on you. And every time you reject the gifts, you're rejecting me. And I'm getting tired of it. So she gave in. And she let me buy her a $7 bandana. But then one day, it was a spring ride, 50 degrees. That's our temperature line. And we drove from Custer to Newcastle. And she wore my chaps, because she didn't have any. And she went, wow, these things keep you warm. Yeah, I know. Now she has two pair. Looking good, vest and a jacket to match. I mean, she's getting better at receiving gifts. Praise God. Amen. Look at her over there. She's going, yeah, I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Find out what those gifts are. The fourth one, don't play the blame game. Don't play the blame game. I'm going to wind this up real quick with just a couple of points. Don't play the blame game. Remember what Adam did in the garden? Standing in front. God, this woman you gave me. She ate, and I ate. Really, God, it's your fault and her fault. Because you gave her to me, and she ate, and then I ate. Do you know what Adam did in that? He abdicated his responsibility. He did. He turned over to Eve. He said, okay, here, you make the decision. That is the wrong thing to do. He let go of his responsibility. There are times in our relationship where I have a responsibility to hang on to and stick with what God says, and I cannot give it up and then blame her. Amen? Amen. And here's my last thought. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about this. I believe most husbands in here would say this. There is not another human being on the face of this earth that cares more for you than your wife. There isn't another human being that's more on your side and in your corner than your wife. I know that's true with Diana. No other human being on the face of this earth cares more about me than her. Okay? And she is so good to me. And I just like to say this. If I can't love her as Christ loves the church, how am I going to be able to love my neighbor as myself? Amen? It's just a good sobering thought. If I can't love the person that's on my side and in my corner like Christ loves the church, how am I going to love my neighbor like Christ loves him? Amen. Something I said earlier in here today, you know, go ahead and love the people around you. Practice. Practice for what we do out in the world. We ought to be able to love everybody in here like Christ loves us. Amen. And if we can't in here, if we can't in our marriages, how will we do in the world? Probably not so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Anybody get anything out of that today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope so. And how many of you know the intent of that message was not to beat people up? That is not the intent. The intent is to strengthen and build up what folks already have. Marriages, to help them be stronger and to help them be better. And I guess it wasn't all lopsided. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to have a meeting downstairs just as quick as everybody can get there. And some of us have other responsibilities and can't get there super quick. Concerning the Ladies of Honor banquet this afternoon. But let's go ahead and pray. And do me a favor right now before we pray. With all sincerity, with